welcome to the Lions podcast. This is the Lions Roar. My name is Gemma and I'm here to host today's amazing podcast with our very special guest, Gary Spicer, Executive Director of Imagine the Day, which is the charity that hosts the Lions program. And we have the Lions leader, Shell Paris, with us as well. And we're going to be having some great chat today about teams. And how do you build your team and how do you make your team really good? So guys, come on, tell me, how do you build an amazing team?
Well, then there was silence.
I was going to say that Gary doesn't have to think about it because he's got an amazing team right here.
Obviously.
Yeah, they're very humble. I think, you know, building a team is a necessity, first of all, and getting the right people on board is challenging. Because, you know, everyone can get people, but getting good people. And, you know, one of the things I always look at, you know, the whole thing, when I'm looking for people, whether it's staff or team, that are going to work and build, you know, you've got to find out that people have character, they have competence, but also chemistry. And sometimes we just look at, can the person do the job? I look at how are they going to do it and how are they going to add to the team that we can have a dynamic which is alive, which is relational, which is fun. And people can get on with each other, you know. So really not just work together, but want to spend time with each other. And yes, it does take some time. But I think once you've built two or three people into that team, people then see that team. And, you know, actually, I have to be honest, in the ITD team, you know, I've got people regularly saying to me, you know, could I join your team? Or, you know, have you got a job for me? And, you know, that's a real privilege.
Yeah.
But it doesn't just happen. So it's choosing the right people, those sort of three characteristics. And I guess always having an antennae in every conversation. I have to be honest, I have, when I talk with people, you know, I've always got an antennae up. I wonder if they could join the team or how we could do that. One illustration just quickly was, you know, we needed a new executive person to, for myself and for the organisation just over a year ago. And it was a personal executive that would keep me on the road and keep the organisation moving forward operationally. And the person who was that had moved pretty quickly and I'd only got really a month to replace, which is tight, you know, being honest, because they're such a core. And I kind of spoke with a few friends and I spoke around and within four days, I had three people coming for the interview.
Wow.
And they came for the interview and I interviewed them. And when they went out the room, I thought, well, that's a real problem. I want all three. And I actually took all three on.
Wow.
So we took all three on in a different role. And I remember, you know, one of our funders saying to me, did you get someone? I said, oh, I got someone. I got three.
You got three.
But, you know, and certainly two of them. One helped us in the transition, but the other two are working with us now, doing a fantastic job, not just doing, but in the chemistry of the team. And they were from another culture. You know, they actually from Ukraine.
Yeah.
And, you know, so they had language. They also had, you know, the culture of Britain and the workplace. And even the Christian culture is a lot different. So we had to mold them in, but you know what, they're such an asset.
Yeah.
And they've added to us. And so, you know, everything's possible.
Amazing. Yeah. I know that on the Lions course you actually teach this about how to put a great team together and that there's different roles in the team. So tell us a little bit about that, Shell.
Yeah. So one of the books that we give to the delegates at the beginning of the Lions program is a book called Good to Great by Jim Collins. And it talks about I think the title of the chapter is First Who, Then What, or Then Why. But it's all about finding the right people is actually key to moving the vision forwards. And Jim Collins talks about this thing of getting the right people on the bus in the right seats. And he goes through, well, honestly, it's a brilliant book. If you can read it, it's absolutely fantastic. But he talks about the importance of getting the right people on the bus, but in the right seats. And I think it's really important that you're looking at an organisation or your team and constantly saying, have I got the right people on the bus and are those people in the right seats? Are they doing the right jobs? And I think actually, if you've got somebody on your team who isn't the right person on the bus, maybe look at whether they're in the right seat first. But if it's just not the right bus, you've got to then make a tough call.
Yeah.
Because it's very difficult to lead something forward when you haven't got the right people on board. It's really hard. And they're the tough calls in leadership and entrepreneurship that you have to make, where you're going, okay, this person just isn't right. And actually, in order to move forward in the direction that I want to move forward in, that person needs to get off the bus.
Yeah, and that's really hard, isn't it?
It's really hard. It's really, really hard. And that's why it's so important that you recruit the right people.
The right people. I know, Gary, you've had experience of that where you haven't had the right people. Yeah. So how did you manage that?
First of all, it is difficult because, you know, I've recruited on the chemistry, the relationship. And I can give you one illustration. It was a few years ago now. And it was actually in the leadership team of a church. And I was changing, bringing new vision in, changing. And this man actually had been a real good friend of mine since I was a boy, if I'm honest. You know, we'd been friends and mates. Mm. And, you know, he'd stood with me. And we come to a particular junction where I wanted to put vision in, which I don't need to say what it was, but it wasn't actually that radical. But for him, he found it an obstacle of what he believed in. And I mean, the bottom line was I wanted to put partnership in so we knew who the church was.
Yeah.
And I've come through church a long time and, you know, had membership and voting. And I don't hold to that value now, or I didn't then. And neither did he. But when I was putting partnership back in, which really was to identify who is our church, not just who is our crowd, he felt I was putting membership back in.
Right.
And so I understood his argument, but I wasn't doing that. And I would say I worked with him for a year. And then one day again, I'm praying. I'm going, God, this is really holding the vision back. This is really frustrating me. And God clearly said to me, he said, well, you're not leading the church anymore. He is.
Wow.
And I thought, what do you mean he is? He said, by default, you're not moving forward with what I told you to do. So he's leading the church.
Right.
And it hit me like a bolt.
Yeah.
Because I'd never looked at it that way. I'm trying to win the person. I'm trying to do all the things that you would try and do as a team leader. And so I had to go around and talk with him, you know, and say what God had shared with me, that I couldn't tolerate it any longer. And unfortunately, you know, he resigned. Mm. And I still feel to this day, you know, if I'm honest, he lost that day.
Yeah.
I lost too, but what God had put in my heart moved forward. Mm. But I did lose a friend, which you're never happy about.
No, of course.
We didn't have a row. I just lost a friend. Mm. And I think sometimes that's very costly and some people aren't willing to pay that price. That's fine, but you might not be leading the organisation anymore.
Mm. Wow. That must have been really tough to get through that. But it is really important that your values and your mission is understood by everyone in your team, isn't it? I mean, how important is that, do you think, Shell?
Yeah, I mean, it's so important. I think as Alive, we have gone through, we've gathered more team recently, and so I've had to be really good at instilling the Alive DNA into that team and kind of looking at, this is how we work, this is how we operate, these are the foundations that we're built on. And I think it's really important to get the balance right between not giving people too much too soon, but also not giving them enough, kind of not giving them enough at the same time that's going to feel like it's holding them back.
Yeah.
You know, you want to make sure that you and your team are on the same page, that you're moving forward together. And I think when you identify something where your team isn't moving forwards together, you have to address that.
Yeah.
You have to stop and go, okay, what do I need to do to bring everybody back into balance? Same if there's an issue on the team, if there's something that comes in that could potentially cause division or disunity or, you know, some sort of challenge to you moving forward together, it's really important that you nip that in the bud at the word go rather than letting it fester and become something bigger than it should be.
Mm. I guess that's where communication comes in really well.
Yeah, absolutely. You've got to be able to communicate with your team and be honest. Mm. You know, you've got to create that honesty within your team where you can say what you need to say and, you know, it's not necessarily taken overly personally.
Yeah.
You know, I think sometimes we can take challenge or criticism too personally. We take it on board. We think it's about us when actually it's not. It's about moving the vision and the organization forward.
I think that's really important. You know, like to influence people as a leader, I'm not on about just boss them, I'm on about influence people. Yeah. It's a big difference. You've got to win people's hearts to influence their minds. Mm-hmm. And too many leaders take their position and title and just say, I'm here to tell you what to do.
Yeah.
I don't feel for one second I could ever tell you girls. I don't feel for one second that my role is to tell people what to do. Mm-hmm. It's to point a direction. It's to help achieve that. And I think, you know, my role, which I think a lot of leaders, it is a challenge to, is how we manage our delegation.
Yeah.
So some leaders, you know, they are micromanagers, and some leaders, you know, are macro, if you can put it like that. So, you know, I'm a more macro leader, but I'm interested in the detail. So I've got to be interested, but I need to trust people to lead in that.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes, you know, I've seen leaders kind of like delegate and then just leave people to do it and then come back, you know, 3 months later and they go, they didn't do what I said. You know, they're terrible. They're useless people. And I'm like going, well, did you manage your delegation? What do you mean? Well, I, as you girls know, I make phone calls. I'll send messages. How's it going?
Yeah.
How did that go? Now, what I'm doing is I'm managing my delegation. I'm not telling anyone to do anything, but I'm showing a constant interest in what people are doing.
Yeah.
And they also know through that I'm interested.
Yeah.
And I haven't forgot what they're doing.
Yeah.
And I think managing your delegation as a leader is a vital thing for building a strong team. You build trust, but also you're still leading.
But it also allows for employees to give you feedback.
And space.
So if there are bumps in the road, you can understand what their journey is. And you can, you know, walk alongside that if you need to and help out.
And again, I go back. People have got to know that you believe in them. They've got to know that. They've got to know that you trust them.
Yeah.
But that doesn't mean that I abdicate my leadership and can't come and speak to anyone that works with me or volunteers with me. Mm. I have the right to speak to anyone anytime I want because I'm the leader. But the way I do it, either will win that person and woo them, or it'll push them away.
Yeah.
And so it's really important that everyone that works in my team knows I trust them, I love them, even though I banter a lot. They ultimately know that I'm going to be there in the ditch and in the valley as much as I'm going to be there on the mountain.
Yeah, that's
and great. Also, I don't mind them taking the glory.
Mm. Yeah. Our first Alive kids camp, I was really purposeful in my presence, I guess, at the camp. So it was 4 days and it was the first one we'd ever done, but I've got a great team who are running that and putting it together. And I purposefully, on one of the middle days, stepped back and wasn't there. And that was a purposeful decision, not because I wanted to throw them in at the deep end, but because I wanted them to be able to run it without me there.
Yeah.
And I wanted to be able to come back and them know that A, they can do it, and to see that they've done a good job at it. And it was amazing, you know, and they felt so empowered. You know, I went back on the last day of the camp after having a day away and letting them kind of get on with it. And they felt so empowered. They felt like, oh my goodness, we've just, you know, they achieved something incredible. Yeah. And then I made sure that they were encouraged and appreciated and knew what a great job
they've done. That's important, isn't it? Celebrate the wins.
Absolutely. You've got to celebrate the wins and you've got to tell people when they've done a good job.
And as it was the first camp, I went up for one day.
But
I got absolutely smashed with water by the kids. And they showed that I was introduced as this leader and then got smashed. And I even had some of my own grandchildren there and they weren't even shouting granddad. They were going, Gary, they wanted more.
Of course. Amazing.
But, you know, even that, I'm laughing about it, but it's showing that you're there without trying to control.
Yeah.
Or not trust people.
Yeah.
Because I'm really interested in what everyone's doing. And I said to, you know, Shell, I want to be there for a day. We're pioneering this.
Yeah.
I want to get a picture of it and enjoy it. They certainly gave me a picture of it.
Amazing. And I guess some of the entrepreneurs that you have on the Lions program, you know, they're coming into the program just with ideas and some of them don't have anything set up yet. They don't have teams. So how do you encourage them to build their teams?
So on our first weekend of the Lions program, we do something called Insights Discovery. And we get every one of our delegates to fill in this very, 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 very detailed online questionnaire thing that basically works out whether they're red, yellow, green, blue. So your reds are directors, that, you know, that kind of role. Your yellows are your sunshine, inspiring people. Your greens are, what are the greens?
Greens are creatives.
Creatives.
And
your blues are your detail people. And we normally have kind of lots of red yellows, so lots of director, motivating, inspiring people. And we actually, this time, we've had a lot of greens and blues as well, you know, people who are quite creative or even more into the detail. And it's an absolutely fantastic way of getting to know how people operate, you know, how they lead something forwards. So I know that I am a red yellow. So I direct, but I'm hopefully inspiring, motivating, people driven. And I know that I'm not so good at the detail stuff. I'm not so good at the admin side of things. And so in my team, I need to have blues and greens that are gonna work alongside my red and yellow. So when you're looking at your team and building your team, it's really important to make sure that you've got a real broad, what's the word I'm looking for?
Well, of skill and kind of the whole thing is you don't have all of you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Because if my team was full of red yellows, I mean, it wouldn't operate in the way that it needs to operate.
Yeah.
You know, so actually, you know, a lot of the people that I've got on my team at the moment are blue green, because that means that I can get on with doing what I do really well. They can do what they do really well. And together, it's a force to be reckoned with, or at least I like to think that. So, you know, think about the kinds of people that you've got. You don't want to build a team of everybody who's like you. You want to have that.
Different roles, isn't it, in the team?
Yeah, I mean, one of the things, like for me, I've always needed a blue with me.
Mm.
Yeah, I am pretty good at detail, but I'm not good at writing detail. Mm. So I can ask the right questions. I can be in a board meeting. I can read accounts and I can ask the right questions. But don't ask me to do accounts.
Mm.
Don't ask me to do the recording. Don't ask me to do the document writing. You know, it bores me. I'm not good at it.
Mm.
But a blue loves it, you know?
Yeah.
And so I've needed at least one blue, really good blue, to work with me, but they are a pain in the neck. Because when you say we can do, they will tell you why we can't do.
Yeah.
When you say we can afford this, they will say why we can't afford this.
Yeah.
When I say I'm moving in faith, they say, you are frightening me. And so, you know, blues are a pain to me, but I've got to tell you, you know, I've got, you know, a couple of blues with me now. And, you know, they are my lifesaver.
Yeah.
And they kind of, so that I say to them, tell me what you see, but I will decide if I'm taking the risk or not.
Right.
So the point is, if you're not careful, you give them too much power. I'm going to say this.
Yeah.
And what happens is the accountants, the lawyers run the organization, not the visionary.
Yeah.
You know, the visionary leader needs to run the organization. What he or she needs is the information and good solid information of what is the risk they're taking.
Yeah.
So my blue would say, if you do that, this is the financial risk, this is the legal risk. Now, I never break the law, so I'm not saying I do that. But, you know, like recently, I can give you a recent illustration, you know, with the camps.
Yeah.
And so recently, you know, we're trying to budget the camps, and my blue comes to me and says, well, one, you haven't got the budget to do it. Second, if you do it that way, you're going to have to pay 20% VAT. And that's going to make it unaffordable for the children, which, you know, Shell would agree with. Now, it took a big discussion with me and Shell, and we're both not happy about this. And I said to the blue, I said, I don't think you're right. He said, I'm not breaking the law. He said, you can't afford it. I said, I think we can. And we must have had about 3 or 4 weeks. And then I said to him, you know, had a bit of revelation and a bit of history to think about. I said, I don't think we've got to pay VAT on children's activities and spiritual activity. And he said, where did you get that from? Mm-hmm. I said, I just don't think we do. I want you to check it out with a top lawyer mm-hmm. and a top tax person.
Yeah.
Well, he's just gone away to New Zealand now. And if he hears this podcast, he knows what I'm on about. But a few days before he went, he wrote me an email 7 a.m. in the morning and said, I hate you. You're right. Now, the most wonderful thing of a visionary leader is when you get it right over a blue.
Yes.
But I'm giving that illustration. We didn't fall out, mm-hmm. you know, and he's doing his job.
Yeah.
And I'm respecting that because I never want to break the law. But, you know, I sometimes don't believe everything everyone tells me.
Mm.
And I think a visionary doesn't always believe everything everyone tells them. And they have a right to challenge it without breaking any law or doing anything bad. That's not my endeavor. But I do think sometimes the blues don't know all the answers.
Mm.
Now, I need a blue. I respect a blue, but I'm not going to be led by a blue.
Yeah. Wow, that's a great story.
Do you know, when we were doing this on the Lions program, we use this thing of doing how would you plan a party. So we had the reds in one corner, the blues in another corner, the yellows in another corner, and the greens in another corner. And they all had to plan a party and then present how they would plan that party.
All right.
Oh, my goodness. It was fascinating.
Was it?
Yeah. Because you had your blues in one corner making their bullet point lists.
Right.
Where
Excel
everything's,
sheets.
You know, right, yeah. great detail. We'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this. It, all listed, you know, yeah. really well presented. Then you had your greens who were, you know, quite creative with it, weren't they? And, you know, but almost like we'll party till, you know, like 9 o'clock and then we'll all go home so that we're not too late in bed. And, you know, then you had your yellows who had like a brainstorm on the sheet and it was, we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this and we'll do this. And then you had your reds with literally, at this time, we're going to do this. At this time, we're going to do this. At this time, we're going to do this. Very directive, very kind of, you know, this is how we're going to do it.
Right.
Honestly, you have never seen a party planned in 4 different ways
yeah.
in such extremity.
Amazing.
It was incredible. And, you know, I just, it was brilliant because straight away, that group of delegates that we're going to be leading for the next year, we know where they're at.
Yeah.
So if they respond to something in a certain way, we know they're going to respond in that kind of way because that's the kind of person that they are. That's
right.
their makeup.
Yeah.
It's brilliant. It's really good. I would really encourage you, if you lead in a team, to look at the whole insights discovery profiling thing.
I think in the middle of all this, a leader, a visionary leader, has to be secure.
Yeah.
If you're going to put, so I feel the stronger the people I put around me, the more we're going to achieve.
Yeah.
But it is going to be harder to lead.
Yeah.
And I've got to first of all make sure that I can handle strong people and I'm not going to go run off crying in the corner or be secure or react to people.
Yeah.
Don't you do that in a legalistic way.
Mm.
And I think a lot of leaders do that. So security, self-security, knowing who you are is really vital. And I find a lot of what they call strong leaders put a lot of weak people around them.
Yeah.
Because
yeah.
they can direct them. But they're never challenged.
Mm.
That gets nowhere but trouble,
in
my opinion.
Mm.
So if I want to build something, I need to first of all get my security in God, know who I am. But I always love strong men or women, and I've certainly got both of them. But I like that because we can go further together.
Yeah.
You know, and I also want to say each one of the people that work for myself and work for ITD now, they could all achieve things by themselves.
Mm. Yeah, well, we
they
talked
build
about
things. Yeah,
as a team, didn't we?
We can build things by ourselves, but somehow we also recognise we could build something bigger together.
Yeah.
And
Amazing.
That's great.
Yeah, fantastic. Yeah. And it is really important to have those different characteristics in your team, different roles as well. Some people are finance, some people are marketing, some people are creatives. So that is really important. Shell, what would you say to somebody who was just thinking about putting their team together? Okay, so they've got certain skills, they're a red, yellow. How do they find their blue? How do they find their green? You know, where do they find them from?
Yeah. I mean, I always like to operate, if I'm honest, out of relationship. You know, so there's very few times that I've brought somebody onto my team who I don't know first.
Right.
Sometimes I've done that and sometimes that's necessary, but I always like to think about the people that I've got around me first. Because I think, you know, the more you know somebody, you know what you're bringing onto your team.
Mm-hmm.
And then in terms of looking at what kind of person I need to bring onto the team, I look at what am I weakest at? What's the area that I find really hard to do? Can I bring somebody in that's going to help me so that that area of our team is stronger, you know, and again, like Gary said, it takes security to do that. I want to bring people onto my team that are going to go further and faster and be even more successful than me because, you know, I want people to build on my ceilings. I want people to be able to thrive and be everything that God's created them to be within the team.
Yeah.
And I think that is how you create a great team is by finding people. Cool.
It's definitely the starting point relationship.
Yeah.
Sometimes you're not able to do that, but I would always tell people to be very cautious in who they take on.
Yeah.
You know, I've been looking just recently for an operational director for a big project, Christian project, really big Christian project. So I need a really capable, strong Christian person and mature, which, you know, I'm not being funny, but not easy to find. And most of those are embedded already in something, and even secular. And, you know, I went to God and I said, God, you know, I need someone, but I'd like someone I know. And I'm going to tell this story, right, because it's really important. So I couldn't find anyone I knew. I'm out in Portugal, right, on holiday. God still moves on holidays. And basically, I kind of like, I was wanting to play golf. I play golf. But there was only myself, you know, Billy No Mates at this moment. And so I rang this golf course and I said, hey, I want to play golf. And they said, yeah, you can play golf, but you'll have to play with three other guys. We've got actually a tee-off time. You can join these guys. So I said, okay. Didn't know them. So I played golf, met these three guys. One was, I don't know, mid-50s English guy. And then he got his son and his nephew. And we're playing around this golf course and we're just having a nice time and chatting. And at the end of it, you know, this guy came up to me and he goes, Gary, I've really enjoyed playing golf with you. I said, oh, that's great. I said, I've enjoyed playing with you. And he says, no, I've really enjoyed it. He said, you're a good man. I think, well, this guy's saying to me, you know, I'm a good man. My wife don't even say that. But like, he says, you're a good man. And then I said, oh, okay. And he said, the other thing I've got to say, I can't let you leave without telling you something. I said, what do you need to tell me? He said, you're too good a man to go to hell.
Oh.
He said exactly what he said. And I said, pardon? He said, I'm a Christian. And he said, I want to tell you about Jesus. Now, I'm not going to say, I felt terrible. It should have been me telling him about Jesus. Anyway, but cut a long story short, we kind of laughed and I said, I'm a Christian minister and everything. And we kept in touch. This was 18 months ago.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I met him again in Portugal, in church there, just by accident. We weren't planning it. I played another game of golf. And halfway around this game of golf, he said to me, you know, Gary, you don't know what job I do. I said, no, I don't. He said, well, you know, I'm a major leader in an organization overseeing thousands of people. I said, right. He said, I work in London. And he says, you know, I'm a Christian. I love the Lord. He says, but God spoke to me, he said, last night, he said, before I'm playing golf with you. I said, oh, yeah. He said, speak with Gary. He said, because God has been challenging me to leave the secular and go into cause and ministry.
Right.
And I goes, oh, really? And he says, have you got something for me? Well, I had this role.
Right.
It fitted him like a glove. And I'm on the seventh hole. Like, I couldn't hit a golf ball. Now, I'm a bit better than
Any
that,
excuse.
But you know what I mean? I'm like, you know, I'm holding this thing. And I started to talk to him. Well, the long and short of it is we're right on the journey now for appointment.
Amazing. Wow.
You know, 6 months later.
Fantastic.
And we built a relationship. I've been down to see him. His wife and him's come on. What I'm trying to say is that even when we cry relationship, and we should, God can create a situation and accelerate a situation where a relationship can be built and DNA can be built. And so that's just a recent one that God's done.
Yeah, that's so good, isn't it? Mm. It's absolutely amazing to hear all of your tips and advice about building teams. And we've run out of time already. It's gone so quick today. But thank you so much for joining me. And we really hope that you have taken something out of today, out of this podcast, giving you some help and tips on how you can grow your team and what kind of team you need as you propel in your business or your church or your project and idea. Thank you for joining the Lions podcast today. We will see you next time. Take care.